Actor Patrick Swayze dies after a battle with cancer. Horrible form of cancer, pancreatic cancer. We'll talk about that. Also mixing in Federer losing at the U.S. Open, our U.S. Open, to a 20-year-old Argentinian. What? And Kanye West emotional on the debut of the Jay Leno Prime Time show. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. But we are locked and loaded for more politics. It's the same old coming out of Washington. How furious were you? Think back to about a year ago and all the bailouts. And then a couple months later, the conversation about Mr. Crazy Madoff and how many people were sunk by him. But really the bailouts. Because people who put money with Madoff, while it was very, very sad, they trusted financial advisors. In the bailout case, we, the American people, actually had to pony up the bucks, to bail out the fat cats on Wall Street. Barack Obama spent part of the morning in New York with a big fat address, and he says a serious message to the people who mess with the financial matters in this country.
We can be confident that the storms of the past 2 years are beginning to break. In fact, while there continues to be a need for government involvement to stabilize the financial system, that necessity is waning. After months in which public dollars were flowing into our financial system, we're finally beginning to see money flowing back to taxpayers. This doesn't mean taxpayers will escape the worst financial crisis in decades entirely unscathed. But banks have repaid more than $70 billion, and in those cases where the government's stakes have been sold completely, taxpayers have actually earned a 17% return on their investment. Just a few months ago, many experts from across the ideological spectrum feared that ensuring financial stability would require even more tax dollars. Instead, we've been able to eliminate a $250 billion reserve included in our budget because that fear has not been realized. While full recovery of the financial system will take a great deal more time and work, the growing stability resulting from these interventions means we're beginning to return to normalcy. But here's what I want to emphasize today. Normalcy cannot lead to complacency. Unfortunately, there are some in the financial industry who are misreading this moment. Instead of learning the lessons of Lehman and the crisis from which we're still recovering, they're choosing to ignore those lessons. I'm convinced they do so not just at their own peril, but at our nation's. So I want everybody here to hear my words. We will not go back to the days of reckless behavior and unchecked excess that was at the heart of this crisis, where too many were motivated only by the appetite for quick kills and bloated bonuses. Those on Wall Street cannot resume taking risks without regard for consequences and expect that next time American taxpayers will be there to break their fall. And that's why we need strong rules of the road to guard against the kind of systemic risks that we've seen. And we have a responsibility to write and enforce these rules to protect consumers of financial products, to protect taxpayers, and to protect our economy as a whole.
All right, here's the bottom line on this. I watched this as it was happening, then watched it a little bit later again to listen closely to his words. So the president says there's much more work to be done. We can't be basically asleep at the wheel. We need stringent regulations and rules so we don't have this domino effect. If one of the big boys collapses, one of the large firms, and we have to have this overhaul of regulation, we can't do things the old way and all that sort of stuff. But if you listen to any of the economists, which I did today, which I thought he missed the mark as well, the one thing we didn't get from what the president was saying is there's no new proposals. No new proposals. I guess it was just those theories being thrown out. Hey, I need to get Congress on board. I need to get regulators on board. We can't be complacent. We got to close the loopholes. We're too big to fail. The bailout era, of course, is not over, and we've got, you know, people are out of work and it's weakened and all that sort of stuff. So from the category of I can't get no satisfaction, I got really not a lot of satisfaction out of this one, other than, I guess, the idea was to rally those would-be regulators and the people who run the financial systems to get them all on board, Congress, et cetera, I guess, because there was no clear-cut proposal, which is for some reason what I thought we were getting again, but we didn't get this time around. Because if you remember, and you know this, you, I, taxpayers, we've lent hundreds of billions of dollars to pretty huge financial institutions, and even trillions more. I can't even count that high in lending programs to try to loosen the incredible grip on lending. So the theory is the bailout money is coming back to us. But is it really? Do you feel like we are escaping the worst financial crisis in decades? I don't think so. I think we've all been scathed by this. And this ultimately is part of the problem. This ultimately is the frustration we see. It's not just healthcare reform. It's not just that, because it goes back to the financial matters once again. So we've got this problem with the healthcare system, right? And yes, we know that there has to be some kind of reform, but it has to be the right kind of reform. Otherwise, as much as you'll hear Obama, et cetera, and others saying, oh, this will send us into bankruptcy, you bet it will, if we do the wrong thing. If we do the wrong thing, like the public option without the funding behind it, of course it will cripple the nation. It has to be done correctly. It has to be done correctly. And with this economic collapse, the problem is we are not anywhere near safe. We are not back on solid ground yet at this point. So I would like to see the proposals. What are the specific proposals? I mean, okay, we know before there was this new Consumer Financial Protection Agency that we should see in the future, right? So there would be that closing of the loopholes that he talked about. And that way, that whole idea of the company just falling down like a ton of bricks and having to bail them out couldn't happen. But the other interesting thing is the president called on foreign economies to jump on board with the U.S. in the regulatory effort for this response to the financial crisis. And of course he did that because China, this tug of war with China is starting to get pretty nasty when we talk about the tariffs and we talk about what China's done as a result of what the president has done to try to cut off the people who would take the work to China. And instead what that's done is now, ironically, because I would have applauded him for that originally, that's backfired and the Chinese are furious. So we're nowhere near solid ground when it comes to our financial system. Did we really learn the lessons of Lehman? Did we really, really learn what happened about a year ago? Mm-mm-mm. Do you think so? 800-259-5791. Keep that number close. But coming up next, speaking of bailouts and cash for clunkers and appliances and all that sort of stuff, financial man Vern Motor is going to break it down for us here on America Tonight.
The phone rings and the questions are asked. I've been so sick. Will the Life Change Tea help me? Our answer is always the same. Yes, toxins and chemicals from food, water, and air are attacking you this very moment. Fight back with our all-natural detoxifying tea that works immediately. Many companies use gimmicks and misleading free trials for their campaign. We use results. Life Change Tea's formula, created by a PhD, has been around for over 20 years. There are things happening in the world that are unseen and not healthy. The public has reached its all-time record for chronic sickness. This atrocity won't change unless you call us right now. Our number is 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember, we have the cheapest shipping in the industry.
There aren't many guarantees in this world. The closest I can come to a guarantee is that the dollar is going to zero. During the great hyperinflation in Weimar, Germany, people who had worked all their lives invested conservatively were wiped out, reduced to poverty. There are many parallels between the Weimar and the U.S. today. I'll send you a list. There are ways to protect yourself from hyperinflation, gold and silver, and legal and constitutional ways to avoid confiscation, which is becoming highly probable. I'm Bob Moss with Midas Resources. Many of the people I talk today are aware of trouble coming but haven't taken action to protect themselves. There is, in fact, a financial tsunami coming, and it could fall upon us quickly with little warning. Don't procrastinate. Protect yourself. Call me today, Bob Moss, at 800-686-2237, extension 111. That's Bob Moss, Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 111. Again, that's Bob Moss, 800-686-2237, extension 111.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Hey, coming up, we're going to tell you about some agents raiding a few homes in New York in what looked to be a terrorist cell. Boy, here we go again. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, coast to coast and everywhere in between. We're just talking about Obama and his speech on Wall Street. And as I mentioned, when you talk about the bailouts and we're concerned about the future and where's the money coming from, everybody points to cash for clunkers. And was this an effective program or not? We've had this guy on before. He's terrific. Vern Motor. He's a CPA, financial planner, and knows this inside and out. And last time we talked to Vern, we were talking about cash for clunkers and what was the downside and what people weren't really seeing. Since that whole program was announced, how much money has gone back to those car dealers who gladly were able to get some cars off the lot, but they find themselves in a zero-sum game because they haven't got most of the money back from the government as it is piled up in paperwork, and in fact, some of it's been rejected, and that's the part that was never talked about. Now there's another program, Cash for Appliances. How good is this one going to run? Hey, Vern, thanks for popping on with us.
Kate, thanks for having me on your show again.
Hey, I was just mentioning that. I know that you didn't think Cash for Clunkers was successful, neither did I, because it sounds good. It sounds sexy. I'll just put it that way. Ooh, Cash for Clunkers. Sure, get that car up. But how much does it ultimately cost? And how much money, of course, had to be thrown in the pot? And like I just said, most of that money, as you know, right, still isn't gone to the dealers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Cash for Clunkers was, I think I said it on your show, a feel-good program. It feels good. It sounds good. Oh, we're helping the environment. We're giving a boost to the auto dealers and the auto industry, and the reality is that boost hasn't come. They got a blip in sales, and it's all going to look good on paper, but most of those dealerships still haven't gotten their money, and the program has been over since August 24th. So
yes.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something, Kate. You might not have known this, but that program itself created so much paperwork. They had a training center that is supposed to train air traffic controllers trying to do paperwork for cash for clunkers.
Oh,
I mean, that's the level of this. And you know, I know we're talking about cash for appliances. It's just another program. It's not as big, But now we're going to have two layers of bureaucracy in this program.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow, I had no idea. So air traffic controllers, which, of course, are not enough of those, and they have enough stress, and there's so many problems now that we've seen lately in the with our flights with so many across country, et cetera, like the horrible thing we had over the Hudson. You've got people now processing paperwork that are supposed to be doing something else. It just figures, doesn't it? And cash for clunkers, here's the thing. I've heard that the idea of cash for clunkers could come back again maybe next year, that there's already some senators touting its success and that there might be a part two. Do you think it would really be a part two?
You know, There definitely could be a part two. I think there probably will be, unless, you know, Americans really can contact their senators and kind of shut some stuff down. And it all goes back to the core of overspending, and you cannot spend your way out of debt. You can't do it, Kate. I can't do it. Your listeners can't do it. And it's just it tears me up to think that our country as a whole is just saying, gosh, let's just spend our way. It's just free money. It's free government money. Go do these programs. Go do this. Go do that. It's not free. It's debt, and it's debt that you and I need to pay back. Everybody listening to your show needs to pay back, and our kids and grandkids.
Yeah, and that's the scary thing. We're going down a slippery slope, and we are like Alice in Wonderland, my friend. We are going down the rabbit hole way too fast it makes me feel very, very uncomfortable. Okay, the cash for appliances, explain that to the listeners if they don't know what it's about.
All right, here's basically what it is. The program is supposed to give an estimated $50 to $200 rebate on appliances, and these appliances have to have this Energy Star rating, which was a rating created by the EPA back in 92. So the government's going to give this money to the states, actually. So the states, by October 15th, have to come up with their plan and submit it to Uncle Sam, and then they're going to approve or may have them make adjustments to approve those plans. And then this money, this $296 million that has already been allocated for this, is going to get paid to the states based on population, and it's $1 per resident. So some states, you know, like Alaska, is going to get $1 for each of their 500,000 residents, and California is going to get millions and millions of this program. So that's how it's all allocated. The states come up with a program, submit it to Uncle Sam, and then Uncle Sam is hopefully going to fund this. I say hopefully according to their hopes. By November 30th, just in time for the Christmas shopping season. So they're really trying to get a boost in this year's GDP right before the end of the year by it.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, so you said it. Really, the best thing to do is don't help these programs because you're not really helping yourself in the long run. So don't listen to the headline and get all excited when you think you can turn something in and turn in all these appliances, because it turns us upside down. But a lot of people won't heed that advice, and you know that.
Well, no, I definitely know that. And, you know, I'm not going to change their opinions on that. Mm-hmm. And I'm really not trying to. But ultimately, sometimes we have to stop and say, wait, where's this money coming from? It's hard for Americans to realize, I think, that our government has no money. No money. They might have the printing press, but we give them our tax dollars. That's how they make income. And so far what they've done with our tax dollars is put us in $12 trillion worth of debt. So they haven't done a very good job with our money yet, and we have to really start questioning some of these programs at some point.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know, it's scary too, Vern. You take that a step further and you think about what's happening with China, and China's getting really nervous, and they have all those treasury bonds, and they're starting to squawk at some of the things that are happening. And, you know, most people, I guess people actually realize that. We've talked about that on America Tonight. So much of our debt, of course, was bought up by the Chinese. It's very, very important for the dollar to try to at least have it stabilized somewhat. The more I think we keep printing money and we don't have any idea how much we're printing, the scarier it is as to when this push for one global, you know, currency that's not the dollar could maybe become reality. And how disastrous would that be for a lot of people?
You're absolutely right. And China's raising an eyebrow. I liken that to your credit card company. When you start charging up your credit card and pretty soon you may be late, a little late on a payment, you go get another credit card, you got a great credit score, everything's fine and dandy, but then all of a sudden your credit score starts dropping and your creditors stop extending you credit. Well, I think the U.S. credit score is going to drop below 600 here pretty soon if it hasn't already. And what scares me, Kate, is we've been a superpower for so long, both economically and militarily. And we've done so many great things for so many nations around the world. I don't think anybody can argue with that the U.S. has done some great things throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
We will not be able to do things like that anymore. If we can't borrow more money and the government doesn't control the spending habits that they've got on these binge spending habits, then we're going to have to start printing money. And when we start printing money, it happens. It's happened in other countries. We've seen it in South America where the hyperinflation is just so high that they don't even put prices on menus because your meal price changes by the time you finish eating.
Right.
And we all laugh and say, no, this is America. That can't happen. But the reality is it can happen. And it will happen if China stops lending us money and if we keep going back to them and saying, hey, we need to sell some more T-bills. We need to stop.
Oh, yeah, we need to stop, absolutely. Who knows where it goes, but I think that I love your analogy about the credit card companies. I think everybody should wake up and start to participate and realize what the government's doing. And the cash for clunkers, cash for appliances, just another way to, trip up that debt that's doing nothing to help us. Because there's, as you said, and you said it so well, there's no way to spend your way out of this. We can't do that because it's not gonna work. Or I would do that, you would do that, everybody would do that, and there would be no debt. But that's not how it works, right?
That's exactly right. The math doesn't work.
Yeah, unfortunately. Vern, always a pleasure to have you on this show. And if you want to check out more about Vernie, it's a fabulous website. Go to yourpracticaladvisor.com. Yourpracticaladvisor.com. Thanks, Vern. We'll talk to you again down the road.
You bet. Thanks, Kate.
All right, so he made a great analogy about the credit cards. You think about that, and it does sound good. I mean, cash for clunkers sounded good, right? And now you see that only 40% of the money owed to the dealers has been approved. Most of it they haven't even gotten, and I didn't even know what Vern told us, that you've got air traffic controllers processing this stuff because they needed help. Oh. Where does it end? Odds and ends coming up on the flip side.
ECigarettesNational.com would like to introduce an alternative to smoking regular cigarettes to all GCN listeners. It's called the e-cigarette. It looks, feels, tastes, and delivers nicotine like a regular cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, you don't have to worry about more than 3,900 toxic chemicals and tar entering your body. There's no flame, so there's no risk of fire, and has no dangerous secondhand smoke, so it's safe for the people around you, and will save you right around 50% over smoking regular cigarettes. So, get rid of the ashtrays, the smell, and the smoke. Learn more by visiting ecigarettesnational.com. That's the letter E, cigarettesnational.com. ecigarettesnational.com. And use coupon code GCN and receive 10% off your order. Or call 1-888-329-7064. 1-888-329-7064 today. To purchase, you must be 18 or older.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Attention landscapers, house painters, carpet cleaners, pet sitters, gutter cleaners, and anyone who has their own home service business. Would you love to build a huge and loyal customer base fast? Well, now you can. Introducing the Magic Yellow Flyer. The Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system is the most effective and inexpensive way to build a referral-only service business in a short period of time. Get new customers and build a solid customer base. Throw away all of the other ineffective and expensive advertising methods. You need need the magic yellow flyer. Corporate America is destroying our country, and it's time to rebuild the backbone of America. No matter what business you're in, the magic yellow flyer marketing system will work for you. Don't have a home business? The magic yellow flyer comes with 15 hot home businesses that you can start at a minimum cost. Visit magicyellowflyer.com. That's magicyellowflyer.com. Put the magic yellow flyer to work for you today. Visit magicyellowflyer.com.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Did you know that colon cancer is one of the most common forms of cancer in the U.S.? Did you know that the number one health problem patients complain to doctors about is gastrointestinal related? Health experts predict that almost every American will develop some type of colon disease, polyp, tumor, or cancer in their lifetime. If you suffer from constipation, irritable bowel syndrome, frequent gas, or other intestinal-related problems, you need to take action. That's why you need Temple Cleanse. Temple Cleanse is a unique colon cleanser that works by delivering oxygen and magnesium to the intestinal system to stimulate a gentle yet effective cleanse. It's the most effective colon cleanse product on the market and one of the best decisions you can make for your health. To learn more and to order your very own supply of Temple Cleanse, visit HealthTruthRevealed.com. That's HealthTruthRevealed.com. Or call 1-800-593-6273. That's 1-800-593-6273 today.
On America Tonight, we have birthdays this day in history and news you can abuse. But before that, you can almost put this in the news you can abuse category. Odds and ends. When you look at odds and ends, here's one for you. Obviously, the business of being in the media is not well thought of these days. Press accuracy ratings have a two-decade low, I guess, public evaluation. The people, in other words, do not trust the media. Are you shocked? This is what the Pew Research showed. And the Americans' view of media bias and independence and all that sort of stuff. So just 29% of Americans say that news organizations generally get the facts right, straight. 63% say that news stories are often inaccurate. Now, in the initial survey about the news media's performance, this is interesting. Comparing numbers, in 1985, 55%, that's 85, 55% said, yeah, the news stories are accurate, sure, 34 inaccurate. So what a flip that has been. Then you compare that with about a quarter saying that news organizations are careful, that their reporting is not politically biased, compared with 60% who say news organizations are politically biased. And I'll tell you, here's what I think. The biggest thing is there's a difference, obviously, between a talk show host and a news person. If you're a news person, you're supposed to be, if you went to J school, if you went to journalism school like I did, and that's what you do, the idea is you're supposed to be objective. You're supposed to report the facts. I mean, that was what good old-fashioned reporting was, no matter where it led you. So I think you have personal biases and prejudices that you cannot completely erase from your mind, because then you wouldn't be human. But the idea is to pursue with vigor the facts of whatever the story is. So if you are a liberal Democrat, but you uncover some nasty things about Acorn or other things that aren't, that prove not to be true about some Democrats, then you would report that with the greatest of zeal, at, like you would a story about something that happened on the Republican side of the ledger, let's say some kind of scandal, if you will, whether it's Ensign in Nevada or Governor Sanford in South Carolina or whatever. I'm just giving you an example. And to me, that's where the biggest flip-flop has come. When you go to these news shows now, what's happened is the anchor person or the reporters even are now more editorializing. Not all, certainly, and not every news station that you tune into or whatever, but I think that's what you see the most of. You'll see people just sort of make, anchors make a flippant remark or show whatever bias. It's just not the facts anymore. And like I said, there is a big difference between doing a talk show, which you are paid for your opinion, and that's the name of the game, period. It's opinion-based. I mean, I say that all the time. America Tonight, if you don't agree with me, do agree with me, whatever. You have your own opinions, etc. And, yes, there's information and informing and trying to dig deep and all that sort of stuff, but it's not quite the same thing as what CNN and MSNBC and New York Times, all that sort of stuff. It's not what those organizations are supposed to do. And I think now, too, the face of news is changing so much. In the younger generation, I mean, the hardcore newspaper, people aren't buying the newspaper unless they're traveling or whatever. I'm saying younger people. They get their news from the Internet. Blogging is so big. People read the blogs, and the blogs can be made up crap. I mean, you could say whatever you want to say, and some people may take that as verbatim because they don't understand the idea of the blog. Particularly depending on what blog you go to. Yes, you can find good information on blogs, and people can uncover things and reveal things and all that sort of stuff. But for the most part, a lot of blogs are not supposed to, are really not about that. It's like a shout out. It's like, here's my feelings, etc. There are some that aren't that way, but the majority are more opinion-based, and some of them ridiculous and unfounded in nothingness. But the idea is you don't have to, you know, read the blog. I don't know. What do you think, Matt? Do you think a lot of people still get their news from television? And do you notice, I mean, even locally, where you have reporters, or I'm not talking about funny things and talking to the weather guy or saying what happened with the sports team or whatever, but do you notice that more people are editorializing?
Yeah, I think so. But I don't know, as far as getting your news locally, I don't think a lot of people still watch the news that much.
I don't either.
I know my parents do, and mm-hmm. probably the older generation does, but people my age, and even people like my older sister, she doesn't watch the news ever either. It's more you get it online, you get it when you need it. And I always tell my mom, because she's the one who reads the paper all the time and, you know, watches the 6 o'clock news, the 10 o'clock news. And I'm like, oh, why are you watching the old news or reading the old news? Because it's stuff, you know, that happened 24 hours ago that they're just getting. But, you know, people that are the younger generation have already found out from, you know, going online, Twitter, all sorts of different things.
Yeah, see, that's what I think, too. I think that no longer, it's just obsolete, the old ways of delivering news. And part of the problem is, it's like we say here in America Tonight, that it's live, it's happening, things happen, whatever. It's a problem with the newspaper is that it's outdated. It's something that's already happened. It's done with. And especially when you do what we do, you're all about what happened now. You want to know because things are constantly popping. Things are constantly happening. And if you just completely went by what was printed in the paper, you'd be outdated because the news would be that much older. I mean, he's exactly right about that. And what happens with newspapers, geez, I don't know. Because, you know, there were some great people that were columnists that I think wrote both in sports and both in news and financial, I think that are pretty good at what they do. And now they've kind of moved them. I mean, this is a smart thing to do. They've kind of moved them to do the online thing as well. In fact, most reporters, that's what they're required to do. I know a lot of sports reporters and news reporters, one in L.A., one in Dallas, and one in New York, and all of them have the blog, and posting things right away is just as important as writing the traditional column or, you know, whatever. So just food for thought that obviously people don't trust the media. They don't trust what they're hearing, that it's inaccurate, that it's misinformation. Sadly, I didn't mention this too much during the show. We did in our last show, but very sad story about the Yale student that, of course, her remains were found in the wall. I think the students were shocked. They held a vigil for her. I thought that was nice. Just 24 years old. She was to be married over the weekend. Annie Lee, just studying to be a pharmacist. There she is on the Yale campus. They think it might have been an inside job. Somebody that was following her knew her movements, that kind of thing. She just did her routine lab stuff. And, you know, this was just days before her wedding. And, you know, she evaporated and their worst fears came true when they found, like I said, her remains in the wall. And I think the students, her friends, obviously the Yale president was upset and just, you know, told the students it's tragic. It confirms our worst fears since the disappearance. And they're trying to find out who's responsible for it. And I hope they catch that creep, whoever it is, and nail him to the wall. Because what would happen is she would take a shuttle bus, I guess, at night, and she never apparently walked the campus alone, and or tried not to anyway, but there have been problems on that campus with muggings and whatnot. So you think of the 75 surveillance cameras they had at the lab where she was working. They show her going in there in the morning and going to the office on the third floor and using her security card to get in a basement lab, and, you know, that's where they found her body. So somehow somebody was in that lab is what I'm assuming, and they're trying to figure out who and what happened, because that's where they found her. I mean, sickening, somehow stuffed in a wall in that lab. So something's up there for sure, and hopefully they can piece the cameras together enough that maybe they're able to find out who did that heinous thing. That, geez, you got to feel for her fiance, that he was supposed to marry her within a couple of days and the family, et cetera, and then to see that happen. Oof. Quickly, we're up against it, but let's go to Mark in New York. Hey, Mark.
Yeah, not to take anything away from the cameras, but, you know, they're there and the security's up the yin-yang and still she was murdered, so.
I know.
You gotta take care of yourself. What did we talk about last time? Alright, I'll make this short because we don't have a lot of time. I wanted to talk about the president being delusional, saying that the economy's getting better, but if you look at Gasparino's column in the Post, he's talking about how Bear Stearns and the rest of them are doing derivatives with the bonds now and the commercial real estate. But really quick, I just want to give thanks to Ray Kelly and the New York City Police Department and Joint Terrorism Task Force. He has a 1,000-member force. Now, I have my issues with New York City, but like you said before, four Afghans, Al-Qaeda connection in Queens. You're here first before we go to break. I'll give you two what they might have been doing. Number one, a Beslan type of attack on a school because they're coming after the kids. That's
right.
We can't let our guard down. And or a Mumbai-style attack. We don't know what they found. They're going to keep it hush-hush. But they follow these guys. They track them. Muslim extremists. I don't know if the news media is going to talk about that. What did we talk about the last time I talked to you about Al-Qaeda and bin Laden and the rest of them? Keep watching your back. And sure enough, in my own backyard, there they are. So thanks, Kate.
I know. Crazy. I'm glad you called, Mark. And, yeah, and I mentioned that. I think of, you know, crawling around Queens, and I think of some of the areas where they could have been and ultimately what was planned. You never can let your guard down. Mark's absolutely right, whether you're in Iowa or whether you're in, you know, New York City somewhere. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to lighten the load a little bit. Stay with us.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
For years, doctors and researchers have known that one of the major pathways to better health is an alkaline diet rich in minerals and antioxidants to keep the body in proper pH balance. For 15 years, people have trusted AlkaZone, the simplest way of keeping the body in pH balance, getting rid of acidic waste buildup, and boosting the immune system through antioxidant support. AlkaZone's unique formula contains potassium, magnesium, calcium, zinc, and the antioxidant selenium, along with 79 trace minerals from ancient marine deposits. Unlike other products, AlkaZone is odorless and tasteless and can be added to any beverage to offset its acidity. AlkaZone also manufactures antioxidant water fountains that will both filter and raise the pH of the tap water in your home to a pH of 10. To learn more and to place your order for a 45-day supply for only $25, visit AlkaZone.com. That's A-L-K-A-Zone.com. Use coupon code RADIO and receive a limited-time discount. Call AlkaZone today at 1-800-810-1888. That's 1-800-810-1888.
News you can abuse. You know, you got to be careful what you do with porn. It might have started out as a prank, but I'll tell you, the police frown on that kind of stuff, particularly when you're at a very popular store, the Walmart in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Can you imagine those people making their way up and down the aisles only to look up and see porn on the DVD TVs at Walmart? Two 20-year-olds thought that would be hysterical, but they were busted on felony obscenity complaint, is what they call it. Police charged the two, put the X-rated DVD that they had slid into the player that was connected to the six TVs. The DVD was removed when a customer notified a store manager in shock. Here's what I want to know. How many minutes did it take by the time that thing was plugged in for somebody to actually notice it? It's funny because I kind of zone out when I go in a store, especially if it's a big store. I have a list. I go in. I'm out. Boom. I don't know if I'd notice it. I guess it was right in front of me. I would. But it depends on where those TVs were positioned. You know, they say art is in the eye of the beholder, or whether you appreciate what the artist is trying to do. There's a guy named Roger Maller, and he's out of Nebraska. He doesn't paint on canvas. He doesn't paint on wood. None of that kind of stuff, paper. He paints on eggs, primarily. So he started painting farm scenes on eggs while he was a pharmacist in Nebraska. One of his eggs was, I guess, even displayed at the White House. What's the deal with painting on eggs? I mean, I wonder why he chose to do that. I think it'd be too small. He told a local newspaper that it's art that people can pick up and hold. Even if they squeeze the egg, there goes the art. Yeah, I don't know about that. I think of decorating eggs. You know, at Easter when you do the decorating eggs thing, I was never very good at that. They give you those, you go and you get that dye. I'm sure like Stu in Kentucky can relate to this. He has kids. And you get that dye and you see all these cool designs on the front. Oh, I tried to do it with my little nephew and forget it. I was the worst at it. I mean, it was dyed, but it was just a plain old like pink egg and a blue egg. Let's go to my hometown, Philadelphia. Tagger Steve Powers, they say, is back at work in West Philly. He has the okay from city officials. Here's what his deal was. He's a former graffiti artist who created a series of rooftop murals that can be seen by computers from elevated trains. I've actually seen them. They're very cool. And they have messages like, your ever after is all I'm after, like sort of like love messages, love letters for the entire city, not necessarily a specific person. He hopes that his murals will help heal an area, especially that area that's just ripped apart by drugs and violence. But they're very pretty murals. I can't remember why I saw it. Maybe the last time I was home and I was on a train somewhere, and only by accident, so I know what that's about. But good for him. He turned graffiti into something more powerful. How about this story out of Milford, Texas? Boy, this guy has to be brave. He's 6'3", pretty tall guy, right? And he's a blacksmith in that town. But he wears kind of a different outfit when he's working. You think of a blacksmith, he wears a leather kilt. Sometimes when he has to go out for dressier things, dressier occasions, he has a wool tartan skirt or kilt. And he's Scottish, so that's what the deal is. And he likes the kilts because it's comfortable to wear, so when he's moving around doing his, you know, blacksmithing thing, he's much more comfortable. But in a place where he is, like Milford, Texas, and those are cowboy wearing, shoot first, ask questions later kind of guys, I got to think that that had to be odd for some of them to see him walking around in the kilts. And finally, these two stories, one out of Liberty, Kentucky. For all you people in Kentucky, you know the town of Liberty. They're offering free rent. Liberty is trying to attract, I love this idea, they're trying to attract new business to their downtown. So what they're trying to do to get people to relocate is they're telling people they're not going to have some of these vacant buildings, they're not going to have to pay rent for a year. So you kind of got these historic old buildings, they're not eyesores, but they're older. And they're sprucing them up and they're painting them. And I guess this freebie idea is attracting a lot of people. They say five companies have accepted and more are on the wait list. Well, of course. I mean, what a great time to start a company. Or if your company, think of the amount of money you save for an entire year in rent. And rent can cost you an arm and a leg. I mean, this is a small town, but still, you have to pay for everything that entails. And that's a good savings. All right, this from Perkin, Illinois. This is our final one. A lot of news you can abuse in this show. Gun collector Robert Mercer always wanted his own cannon, apparently. He couldn't buy one, so he made it last year. He learned of a cannon barrel for sale, and it was made by another collector who never finished his howitzer, Civil War era howitzer, remember those? So he molded it over for a while, and he bought it. And then he had his sons carve up the carriage for the cannon out of a white oak beam that weighed like 700 pounds. He even fired the cannon. He made it so he could fire it. And because of the economy and a lot of interest in it, it looks like he's going to sell it at about $7,500. But the story is cool, to actually shoot off a cannon to fix it up and have the kids and his sons involved in that and actually get it so that it could work. Wow. All right, a couple of other things for you. This day in history, one of my favorite things that we do, I love to look back, at least in history anyway. Today is USA Today Day. It marks the first issue of the nation's newspaper back in 1982. That's nice of them to make their own day. Also, it's Make a Hat Day. Make a serious hat or make a goofy hat. I don't think I'd be very good at that. Maybe, I guess I could make a paper hat. I don't know. Moving on this day in history, in 1954 during night filming for the seven-year itch, in New York City. A gust of wind from a subway grating lifted Marilyn Monroe's skirt. Her husband, Joey DiMaggio, objected. He hated it. He was furious. But the scene made it to the world's movie screens, very, very famous, and then a poster afterwards sold like gangbusters. How about this? If we wind back a little bit further, 1930, one of the world's most popular comic strips, Blondie, first appeared. Blondie and Dagwood speak 33 languages. They're in 1,800 newspapers in 58 countries, still hanging strong. Ever catch the show on reruns, Green Acres? It debuted in 1965. Eddie Albert, Ava Gabor, and Arnold the Pig. 1969, TV host Ed Sullivan released his only rock single, The Sully Gully. I'd love to hear a copy of that. It never made the charts. I'm sure you're stunned by that. 1991, Madonna autographed a pink and black bra from the movie Truth or Dare. It brought in $11,000 at a Michigan auction. Wonder what that would bring in today. I bet you a little bit more. She still, like, last year had a gangbuster year. She was the biggest one as far as concerts were concerned. I was surprised by that. In 1994, EMI Records, the Beatles record company, paid $122,900 for a noisy 5-minute tape made back in July 6, 1957 at a Liverpool church by 16-year-old John Lennon and the Quarrymen. It was Lennon's first recording. And that would be another thing that would be fun, I think, to be able to hear. 2003, lacking funds to complete a 4-season, the WUSA shut down its women's professional soccer league. Boy, they just could never get enough interest. I mean, there was interest in the women competing internationally, World Cup, etc., but not with WUSA. 2004, World Cup, when I say Olympics, in the Olympics, it was so huge if you remember the U.S. women, but WUSA just could not make it. There are other soccer leagues that have floundered as well. 2004, Johnny Ramone, the guitarist and co-founder of the band The Ramones, died in L.A., at age 55. And speaking of age, it's time for birthdays.
You have mail, mister.
I need birthday singers! Come on! We need birthday singers!
We do have some birthdays here. Britain's Prince Henry of Wales is a big 25 years old. Director Oliver Stone turns 63, as does Tommy Lee Jones. You know he was Al Gore's roommate in college? Football's Dan Marino, 48 years old. McGruff, the crime fighter dog, 29 years old. How about that? Pretty decent birthdays. Quickly, one more for you. Oh, let's throw this one in. Jackie Cooper, 87. Have a good one.
This is football night on ESPN 2, 5, or 6. What? The Temple Owls against the Ohio U Kitlin Lakes in the city of Philadelphia. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time and have fun.
It's the best elevator music I've ever heard.